critical moment.
Hello, I'm Dan Brown.
And I'm Brandi Crawford Urriu.
We are your TV BFFs, and this is an interview podcast about the TV shows that people love most. Each episode, we bring on a guest to discuss their top six shows of all time based on what we call the BFF criteria. With so much TV out there, we want to know, what are the best shows you've ever seen? What are your absolute favorite shows? And what are the shows you would watch on a loop forever?
That's right. Each episode, our guests will pick two shows in each of the three BFF categories, those being their best, favorite, and forever shows, while choosing from the three genres of TV, which we have defined as drama, comedy, and unscripted. And with that, let's get to our guests this week and find out what's in their top six. We're super excited to have this guest with us today. He is a stand-up comedian, and you may have seen him on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. You can also catch his short special titled LA Meets NY on HBO Max. And his first Comedy Central half-hour special is called Growing Shame, and it's out now. Please welcome Ian Lara.
Hey, guys. Thank you guys for having me. That intro was perfect. You guys nailed it.
Awesome.
Thanks for coming on, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm excited because I'm very passionate about the shows that I love.
Ah, awesome. Well, we'd love to hear it.
As a working stand-up comedian, do you get a lot of time to watch TV? Like, kind of what's your general like TV watching habits look like?
Yeah, I mean, I could find time for something I like. But my thing is, like, I feel like with my attention span being so bad because of being a millennial and phones.
Modern society.
I need a show to be recommended. You need to recommend it. Like, I need three different sources, like, before I'll even get the chance.
Oh, okay. Nice. All right.
I love that.
Like, I need three sources. And then I'm like, all right, I'll give it a chance. And it can't be, you have to wait till episode 6 of season 4 before it gets good. I'm not doing that. It has to be good from the beginning.
I get you on that. It kind of reminds me of how I used to buy CDs. I wouldn't buy a CD unless I liked at least three songs. Cause like, do you remember back in the day before the streamers, before Napster, and like you got a CD and like you just pay $15.
Right. Right.
Like,
yeah.
If you only like one song, I'm looking at you, Luscious Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah.
No thanks.
No, yeah, I need Rex. And it has to be like a no, you'll like it from the beginning. Like, I'm not a, and this might be offensive to the podcast, but like, I'm not a Game of Thrones guy.
That's not offensive at all.
Oh, all right. Because everybody, you say that out loud, you could get canceled for saying that in public. You could lose your career for saying
right. That.
People love that show. Even during the pandemic, when I was locked down doing nothing and everyone was like, all right, this is your chance. Watch Game of Thrones. But they're like, you got to wait till season 2. I'm like, wait till season 2. Like, who's dedicating 15 hours of their life to wait for a show to get good?
Great point.
Yeah. All killer, no filler, right? It's got to be good right from episode 1. I love that. That's a good bar.
For sure. For sure. Yeah, that's my criteria.
I love it. Well, before we get to your BFF criteria, what are some shows that didn't make your criteria that were just on the outside looking in?
All right. Honorable mention.
Honorable mentions. Yeah.
Ozark, an honorable mention.
Okay.
I'd put Lost in there too.
Lost, okay.
Lost was great. I got into Lost like after it was already done in college. It was like when Netflix first started like really streaming. I think it was like 2008. That's not when it first started, but when it was very popular on college campus. And like the whole campus was like in on Lost. And the show had been done for like 3 years already, but like the whole campus was just watching Lost. I remember we used to go to class and come back like, hey, what episode are you on? I'm on episode 10 season. And it was really good. It got weird after like season 6, but it was very good. So I because they didn't end it when they should have, that's why it's not in my top.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was going to be my question is, how did you feel about the finale? How did you feel about how it ended? Not great?
No, it was terrible.
I feel like Lost ends up in a lot of almost shows for people. Like, it never quite makes the cut.
That's true.
Yeah. I think it's because of those last few seasons.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're probably right. It's on a ton of almost lists, but never has made a criteria still.
Right. Right.
And
almost show one more, I would do Scandal.
Scandal. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I went with Scandal, Blacklist.
Wow. Okay. I like you got a good helping of a couple network dramas here, which is nice. We don't get a ton of network dramas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Blacklist is a great show. Law and Order, SVU. I feel like that's a common one, right?
A little bit. Yeah.
A little bit. We did like a crime show specific criteria, and that was on mine for one of my forever shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it was just crime show, that would be number one for sure.
I could watch SVU for, I mean, and I have for hours on end.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Like Sunday is like, get out of here.
Yeah. Me too. Same. So SVU for sure is top. I would put SVU probably top 10, but just not quite top 6. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm loving your almost shows. I want to get into that BFF criteria though. So we asked you to pick 6 shows in total with 2 shows in each of the 3 categories. So those categories are best, favorite, and forever. So your best shows are the ones that you think are just like the most artistic, well executed, just overall like the best made shows you've ever seen. Your favorite shows are the ones that hold a place near and dear to your heart and mean something to you personally. And the forever shows, if you died tomorrow and in the afterlife, you get to choose 2 shows to watch in order from pilot to finale over and over for infinity. What are they?
For each category, we have you choose from the 3 overall genres of TV, which are comedy, drama, and unscripted. With unscripted meaning everything from reality shows to documentary series to game shows, everything in between. There must be multiple episodes, so no one-offs allowed, no one-off docs. But other than that, there's no guilty pleasure. So whatever you want to talk about, we're game for it. Let's get into it. The main rule is you can't double up a genre in 2 of the 3 categories. So for instance, if you were like, these 2 dramas are the best things I've ever seen, the next 2 categories can't be 2 comedies or 2 unscripted. You gotta go 1 of each in 2 of the 3 categories. Does that make sense?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, man. So let's get into it. What's your first show? We'll start with best. What's your first show in the best category?
For best, and I'm going to switch up my list a little bit.
I love it. Let's do it.
I'm going to go with Atlanta.
Okay. Let's talk about Atlanta.
Like, I think it's like changed the way TV is shot, like, and done.
Yeah.
Even like in comedy, like when you tried to pitch a show, like they automatically tried to pull you to like a sitcom, which was like a 3 camera in front of an audience, but Atlanta allowed you like to do a single camera, and it's dramedy, I guess, at the best, where the comedy is there, but it's not like overtly in your face. Like, you got to really follow the story to get the jokes. And also the fact that it's like unapologetically Black too, where it's like these Black guys from Atlanta just being themselves and not like, they're literally like, I know guys from Atlanta like that.
Oh, I'm from Atlanta, and there's so many things like the episode where Earl took Van to eat out.
Yeah.
And the parking lot guy, like when they were looking for a parking space, like that parking lot guy, just like his whole voice, I was like, oh my God, like I feel like I'm at home. Like they got like that guy's from Atlanta.
Right. I think that show is very well done.
Some episodes stand out from others, right? With Atlanta, like, I mean, shit, Teddy Perkins was a weird fucking episode that is burned into all of our brains.
Teddy Perkins was weird as hell.
That was one of the scariest things. Like, I had legit nightmares about that. Like, that was one of the scariest things I've seen.
It was weird as hell, but you couldn't turn away from him.
Right,
exactly. It's good, because you're like, is this a horror show? Like, what am I watching? You don't know what you're watching.
What are you doing up here?
I just heard the piano. It sounded great, so...
Shh. Benny, he's sleeping. He's very tired. He needs his rest.
Okay. Cool.
Do you still want the water?
Oh, yeah.
I can bring it to you. Downstairs. Bottled or tap?
Bottled, I guess.
Oh, bottled. I'll bring in my Fiji in Evian. Mix it with some Poland Springs. Maybe a boss?
Okay. I would...
I'll see you downstairs.
I just wanted to ask you this.
Is there an episode or two that, like, when you think of Atlanta, this is what you think of? Or a scene or like, what do you think of?
The Teddy episode, for sure. And I think probably the episode with Cat Williams.
Yes, the Alligator Man.
Yeah, those two probably the most. But I think every episode is like its own world, kind of.
It is, yeah.
And you don't know what to expect.
Right.
Which is like really awesome to go into a show, because it's like, especially like we live in a world of narrative TV.
Right.
And you kind of expect like, well, the story is going to start here and we're just going to kind of watch it progress. And with Atlanta, it's like, Well, this episode, it's like me thinking that maybe Paperboy is about to get shot in the woods.
Right.
But this episode, like Cat Williamson, it's an alligator man.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like it still has a strong narrative. Like, so for instance, like the Cat Williams alligator man episode, right? Like, I think he plays Ern's uncle and he goes to like check up on him.
Yeah.
And he ends up like removing a gun from his house, I think, and taking it with him. And that gun turns up again, like at the very end of the season. I won't spoil it, but like plays a crucial role towards the end of the season. And you like forget about it the whole season. And then it comes back in this really crucial time. You're like, oh man, they know exactly what they're doing, even when they go on these tangents throughout the season.
Right. Yeah. It's very well written. That's why I have it in the best. It's like geniusly written, I think.
Do you have a favorite character of like, especially like that main trio? Well, I guess like four. It's like Ern, Van, Paperboy, and why am I blanking on Lakeith's character's name? Shoot.
I probably like Donald Glover's character. I feel like I could relate most to him because he's kind of just like this screw up that's like kind of stuck into like, that gets thrusted into like this world where he's not really from. I like his character the most, but they all play different, you know, like Paperboy obviously is like, it is kind of revolves around like trying to make him a star. But so he's like very important. I think everybody's very important to the thing, but for me, probably Donald's character.
Yeah. Super strong ensemble. Love it. Off to a strong start. And Brandy, I think, is this outside of when we did our BIPOC BFFs, is this the first guest who's had Atlanta on their criteria? I think it is.
I think so. Yeah. Which is like kind of crazy.
A little shocking, I would admit, especially in the best category. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Atlanta equals better than Game of Thrones. Sorry.
For sure. Yeah. Don't clip that video.
Yeah.
I don't want that out there. But I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Ian, what are you pairing with Atlanta in your best category?
Would Atlanta count as a drama? A dramedy?
It's kind of up to you, man. Like, it's probably like submitted to like Emmys and stuff as a comedy, but yeah. If you can make a case for it as a drama and you have another comedy you want to put here, I could see that working. What about you, Brandy?
Yeah, same.
I definitely would say dramedy. I think dramedy is now a category on its own. Another show I would put in the best, like, I feel like the way it's shot kind of changed television, probably another FX show, Louie.
Oh, wow. Okay. Let's talk about Louie. Another first timer on the show. We haven't had anyone mention Louie yet.
Well, you know, there's many reasons.
Fair enough.
Many reasons why that probably is the case. Yeah. But I'm talking about just artistically. Artistically, it is the way it's done. I feel like it's, at the time it came out, I hadn't seen a lot on TV that way.
It's one of those things where I can completely recognize the genius of Louis C.K.
Yeah.
And like, I have to kind of remove like the sketchiness of Louis C.K. because it's right. Like, that show is really funny. Like I have never laughed so hard at something. And it was like, so like living in New York, like,
yeah.
Like that, the episode that starts with the trash people actually coming into his apartment because it's so loud. And that's what it feels like when the trash truck is outside.
Yeah.
Solid pick. It is really well done. The writing's really good. The acting's really good in it. Like,
yeah, I think it's just a good show. Like, it's just the way it's shot. And like you said, all the jokes are like unassuming, but I've laughed so hard. Like, at like some of the low key things, mm-hmm. like him just, he like, there's one, I'm one episode, he's trying to get a taxi and like, two taxis just pull up and fight. Like, they just get out and start beating each other's car open. And he's just standing there. Like, the two taxis, which is like obviously exaggerated, but that's what it feels like
yeah.
Here in the city. So I definitely think that I would put that in best.
Ian, I have a question for you. As a professional comedian yourself, right? Someone who writes jokes for a living, how do you determine which is like the better written show, right? Like, because I think you mentioned, you know, both Atlanta and Louie are in your best for the strength of the writing is a large part of it for both those shows. How do you categorize what is good and what is bad comedy writing? Like, how do you like slice that up? How do you make that determination?
Well, I think there's levels to it. Comedy, even though it's a genre, I don't think it's like the same across the board. It depends what type of comedy you're doing. Like, for me, like Friends makes me laugh a lot. Like, I watch Friends and I'll laugh out loud. I've seen every single episode many times and I'll watch it and still laugh at the jokes. And the comedies, the writing there is like real easy setup punch where they're literally just, I mean, there's a laugh every like other line in a conversation. So that they're like really going for it. But the laughter there is like very easy and like it's a good show. It's a background show where you can have it on. You could be having a conversation in turn and you're in the joke already. You don't need to watch the full episode to be in the joke. A show like Louie and Atlanta, to get some of the jokes, you might need to be in the episode. You can't just turn on and look and start laughing. You might need to understand what's happening in the show to understand the comedy. So I definitely think there's different subcategories in comedy, but depending on the subcategory, that's how I look at it. A show like Louie, I would put in the same thing as Atlanta, where it's like the storyline, it's like the storyline carries through the episode and it's funny. Like, it's not just set up jokes. It's a funny storyline. Like, I think Dave now on FX is the same.
I love Dave.
Yeah, I love season one. I thought season two, he went a little away. But the funny thing is he wrote season one and then season two, he got writers and the show just kind of changed.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Well, yeah, because my thought on season two is that I felt like season one, he was so out of control. And like season two, he started to get like there were consequences for everything. And so it's just like, okay, so Dave is getting. And I don't know if they were doing that to like kind of beat the woke police to the punch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I met with like Kevin Hart's people, they're producers of the show, like a week before the show aired when I was out in LA, just before the pandemic. And then I came back and started watching it during the pandemic. And while I was watching, I was like, this show is really good. Like I even had them, I was like, this show is great. Like you guys, and they were tackling like real stuff, like real human things in a very funny way. So that's like a different genre of like Friends or How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, like we've reached this new frontier of comedy where, to your point, like a lot of it is kind of dramedy or it's comedy rooted more in real life, not so much the setup punchline, like, oh man, everyone in this fictional universe is apparently a comedian that just like has crazy, you know, one-liners all the time.
I think as a generation, we kind of like got tired of that and felt like we were being forced to comedy, even though I can still watch it and still appreciate it for the simple comedy. But I'm never going to say like a joke, like, I mean, a show like that is like particularly well written.
Right.
It's just easy jokes that are funny.
Right. Ian, let's move on to the favorite category. What is your first show that you would deem one of your favorites?
Entourage would be number one.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, Entourage is probably the top, one of my all-time favorite shows.
Divisive pick, Ian. Entourage has a checkered relationship with TV viewing audiences, right? Like came on like really, really huge, was a huge deal. Everybody loved it. But as it went on, it kind of definitely faded. And now looking back on it, like, especially like, you know, a lot of the things that like the Ari character says, right? Like looking back, it's like, whoa, this show definitely couldn't be made now. But do you think like, have you gone back and watched it recently? Or is that just kind of like a, when it was on, you loved it?
I've seen it a couple of times. The last time I saw it was last year. I saw it during the like lockdown. I started over and I was like, oh, let me just watch episode one. And I watched episode and I was into it. I was like, and then I'm seven seasons in, like watching every episode and like knowing what happens, but I'm still so invested in the characters. I think it's a great show. I mean, it's realistic. Like, it's really realistic. Like, I remember the first time I went out to Los Angeles, like being on the lots and like, I'm like, this is what they were talking about. Like, this is, this is LA. I mean, obviously minus all the models and the parties, but being on the lots and stuff and meeting with agents and like, Agents are like art.
That's true.
They are, right?
Especially powerful ones. Especially then.
Right, exactly. Now, do you think like watching it, so you watched it within the last year, so like from like, you know, 2021 lens, does it hold up or were there moments where you're like, ah, man, tough to watch? Or were you just like, oh, it was a product of a different time and you just kind of let it blow by?
Yeah, I still think it holds up. Like, I honestly don't think, like, I feel like, I mean, the way Ari used to speak to Lloyd was like probably not acceptable now. But the way they did it was like, maybe it's not, I guess, politically correct to be out there in the open with it. But we all know friends do that between each other.
That's true. Yeah. The better you know someone, the more brutal you can be with them, you know, when it comes to like making fun of each other.
Right. Some of like, especially now, like some of my gay friends who like are comedians and stuff, some of the stuff they tell me would be like, if you put this on a show, it would be like, this is insane. We can't talk like this.
This is a private conversation, no recording.
Right. This is how friends talk. That's just how friends talk. They were giving you an insight in the life of how people behave.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I still think they behave that way. They just do it more privately now.
Yeah.
That's right. One more follow-up question for you. What of the Vinny Chase projects would you most want to see if it were real? Queens Boulevard, Medellin, Aquaman, like
they made Escobar, they made Medellin, right? That was Narcos,
right? Exactly, and yeah. They made Aquaman. Jason Momoa was in
and
it,
and they made Aquaman, yeah.
So by default, would it have to be Queens Boulevard? I guess
Queens Boulevard for sure.
That's probably the best movie of them all, anyway. Like that's the only real critically acclaimed one of the series.
Yeah, Queens Boulevard for sure. Yeah. That's the one I would want to see made just because, you know, I'm from Queens.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Perfect. All right. What do you got next to Entourage is your next favorite here. So we haven't doubled up a category yet because we have Atlanta as a drama, Louis a comedy. Okay. Right on. What do you got next?
Yeah. For favorite, my other one is Martin.
Martin. Okay. So this is doubling up two comedies. So this is your double up category, I would say.
Is Entourage a comedy?
Yeah. That's not a drama. I don't think you could swing Entourage as a drama. Can you?
It does evolve as a show, like from the first season to the end. Like I feel like the first is a lot looser. I mean, by the end, he's like has a coke habit and is in rehab, and like, you know, he's like,
I mean, shit, that's a good point.
Yeah. They go to rehab. Somebody commits suicide in the rehab thing. Like it gets real dark. But I guess it's a comedy. But then it's like I was saying, is the subgenres. It's not Martin and Entourage are not the same kind of comedies.
That's correct.
That is true.
Let's talk about Martin. This is a bit of a blind spot. I remember watching it as a kid, but I don't have any real solid memories of it. I watched some clips before we came on and I'm like, I forgot how many characters were in this thing. One, I'm like, I couldn't tell for a minute, like, was this a sitcom or were these sketches almost? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Talk about Martin and why you love it.
Martin to me is probably, I would put it in the top three best sitcoms ever made. Like, I feel like it still holds up. Like the jokes still hold up. Like the jokes are just timeless. Like, I mean, literally it came out in like 94, I think.
Mm-hmm, somewhere in them.
It's just about a group of friends who are trying to become adults. You know, they're dating, they're trying to get it together. And you can literally watch it and you don't feel like you're back there. You don't feel like you're in 94. You just feel like, yeah, this would still happen the exact same way today. Mm-hmm. And also joke wise, I think it's one of the funniest like written shows ever. I think the Martin's character is like, to me, one of the best characters ever on TV. Clever, quick. And he was just like, especially for like the Black African-American community, he was like the coolest guy. Like, and he wasn't like sold as cool. Like if you watch the show, most of the show was based on him screwing up. He wasn't like Vinny Chase. He wasn't sold as like the cool guy.
Yeah.
Look at the cool guy. He's the cool guy. This, it was like, look at this guy who's like a screw up, but you can't help but love him.
Mm-hmm. No, I loved Martin growing up. That was a big, my family, we watched it. My parents like really were like the original DVRs. Like we had three TVs, three VCRs, each VCR taped a different network every night.
Fancy, yeah.
And we loved Martin. I was talking about this with somebody before, like Martin came out at a time when it kind of felt like there was so much Black TV on, like Black network TV.
Right.
And
right.
Like that, it just felt like so normal. It's like, I think back to like watching TV when I was a kid, and it was like, there was a Black show like that were like a super popular Black show, like on every network.
I think Martin, like, cause it was Fresh Prince, mm-hmm. which came out in 1990. Fresh Prince actually debuted on my birthday, I believe, 1990, September 11, 1990.
Oh, wow.
And then after Fresh Prince, there was a couple shows, but Martin made room for like the WB era and the mm-hmm. UPN era that came in the late 90s, where mm-hmm. every comedian got a show after that, where it was like the Jamie Foxx show, the Steve Harvey mm-hmm. show. Like every comedian had their own sitcom because of the success of Martin. And if you watch a lot of them are just doing Martin anyway. Like,
right.
Like I like Jamie Foxx show. I think the Jamie Foxx show is a great show, but it's just Martin. Like they just redid Martin if he worked at a hotel.
And also like, I mean, Martin is like a part of the vernacular. Like, does it need like, damn Gina, how many times do you say
damn
that?
Damn Gina, you go girl, you so crazy.
You go girl.
You go girl, you so crazy.
Shanae, just as a name, you know what I mean?
Right? Yeah, yeah. It's just, I mean, and at the time, like they had some of like the biggest, like Chris Rock was on it at the peak of his like Chris Rock, Ring the Pain, Biggie. They had an episode with Biggie on it. They had an episode with Kid and Play. They had like everyone. It was just like a staple. I think that there's an episode, the Varnell Hill episode, where Tommy Davidson is the Varnell Hill. Tommy Davidson is supposed to be Arsenio, basically, in 95, which was Arsenio at its peak. And it's like a thing about Arsenio comes to Detroit and Martin has him on the show, which is Tommy Davis. And then he invites him out to L.A. So Martin goes to L.A. to try to get on the show. And I think it's some of the funniest, like, I see that now and I still just lay on the floor laughing about how funny it is.
And we're back with Varnell Hill.
Did you miss me?
Yeah, brother, they miss you. That's why I cut that last commercial short. Okay, I was afraid people would call in, where's Varnell? We miss him.
We miss him. You are funny.
Thank man. You. Look, we gotta go to the phone, take a call. Call a what's up?
What's up? What's up? That is funny. You are funny, man.
You're gonna walk in the footsteps next, brother? Okay, damn. All right? Look, are you writing my stuff down?
I wouldn't do that, man.
Okay, well, it seems that way. You're jotting.
Do you have a favorite character that Martin inhabited? Because what was cool about that show is, you know, Martin had the Martin character, but then also played several other characters depending on the show and the storyline. Did you have like a favorite secondary character of his?
My favorite character that Martin played was Jerome. I like Jerome.
I don't remember Jerome. What was Jerome's thing?
Jerome was the player. He was the player with the messed up teeth and the,
yeah,
and the afro and the Jerry curl afro with tacky clothes that was always trying to get with Pan.
The fur coat.
And it was so funny because Martin hated Pan.
Yeah.
But Jerome always tried to get with Pan. One of the funniest lines I think ever like I've seen like on a TV show, just because it's such like a, like, you, this is not a mainstream, like it went mainstream, but it wasn't a mainstream show. Like it was really like a homeboy, homegirl show. Like this is stuff you would hear, especially in the Black community. This is like the type of jokes, the type of roasting you would hear. It's like, this is what you would hear in like with a group of friends. One time Martin is talking to Pam at the, like they're all together on the kitchen table. And Pam says something to Martin along the lines, like, I don't appreciate you doing this. And Martin's like, I don't appreciate you coming out here with your breath smelling like train smoke. And I thought that was the funniest line because it doesn't even really make sense if you think about it.
No, but the specificity, it's not just smoke, train smoke.
But yeah, it's so specific. Yeah. It's so specific. And I feel like that's like, that's the thing with like Black and Black comedy. When it comes to roasting, you have to get specific. Like you have to really get specific. That's what like gets the big laugh. And the breath smelling like train smoke is the funniest line. It's so funny. It's so funny.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, so moving on to your forever category. So I think we've doubled up in your favorites with two comedies. We got around it with Best, you have a drama comedy. So you mentioned no one scripted. So in your forevers, it sounds like you're going to have a drama and a comedy here. Is that right?
Yeah, I guess.
he's like, if I have to.
If I put Curb, is that count as unscripted? Because they're not scripted.
Wow.
That, you make a good,
shit,
good point there.
Interesting. Okay. I mean, you may have stumped the BFFs here. Shit.
Yeah.
It's not scripted. Like even like they've sent me auditions for Curb. It's no script. They just tell you what's playing out. They'll just be like, you're parking Larry's car at the thing and Larry doesn't want to tip.
Shit. Oh man. What do you think, Brandy? I'm kind of 50-50 here. What's your take? Because like there is no script. That's correct. So it could technically, like by the letter of the law, be unscripted.
Literally, some reality shows are more scripted than this.
That's true. Like a Housewives episode is more scripted than Curb.
Right.
That's the thing. Like, so Brandy and I don't know if you know this, Ian, Brandy and I both develop and produce reality TV. So the way you were just describing a scene in Curb is very much what it would be like on a reality set, especially for the more produced versions, like, you know.
Right.
Even like an Impractical Jokers, right? If someone brought on Impractical Jokers, we'd probably put it as unscripted, but that probably has more writing than Curb does, if we're being honest.
Yeah, right, you know? For sure. Yeah.
Shit, Ian, you're kind of breaking my brain here.
I think we have to allow it.
Yeah, I never thought of it this way.
I think it's unscripted. I mean, there's no script.
Yeah, I think we have to allow it.
By technicality, but more genius of just placement here and strategy, Ian, I think we got it. We got to give it to you. Let's talk about Curb. Why is it in your forever category? I love it.
I mean, Curb is just, it's such a funny show. Like, it's just, when you watch, I mean, Larry David is just, the way, like, it's so masterful. Because, like, I know it's not scripted. When you watch the show, you can tell that it's chopped up. Like, some of the scenes, you're like, there's no continuity in that scene. Like, you're like... You're like, the soup was full when he said that one line, and now it's empty. And on the next line, like when the camera.
And then it's full again. Then it goes back and it's full. Yeah. Because
they'll just film a scene and they'll keep going until somebody says something funny. And then they'll wrap. That's the episode. Mm-hmm. But I think it's so, so funny. And they push the envelope. Even like in the new season, they push the envelope. Like, they're now, I mean, in the new season, I believe it was in the last season, there's an episode where he got to get a KKK, a Klansman's outfit dry cleaned.
That is the most pure Larry David that you'll ever see. Cause he's like, you know, a Jewish man,
right?
You know, confronted with a KKK member.
Right.
And that is superseded by his social contract where he's like, well, I spilled the coffee. So I gotta do it. That's more important to him than like, you know, the hundreds and hundreds of years of embedded racism, you know?
It's so funny. So funny. And that's the kind of, that's the thing that I think too. Like, I feel like a lot of times when it comes to like politically correct stuff, the people who are generally like on the end of the joke aren't generally the people who get offended sometimes, because all of my Black friends or Jewish friends who have, like, they rave about that episode. They think that's the funniest episode like ever, that you got to get a Klansman's thing dry clean, and he takes it to the store, and the guy's like, he's like, it's not for me, like, it's for somebody else.
I've looked everywhere. I can't find the robe. It's lost.
Okay, that's bullshit.
It's lost.
Give me the robe.
You know what? If you're going to give an important job like that to a member of an inferior race, you got to expect us to screw it up.
I'm in a lot of trouble now because of you. A lot of trouble.
I thought you said he was a very decent Klansman.
He is a decent Klansman, but he's still a Klansman. He's got rallies coming up in Santa Fe and Tucson. He's not going to have his robe. He's not going to be happy.
That's a real shame.
No, I feel like he's so good about, like, because one of my favorite seasons, obviously, is when we're introduced to the Black family.
Yeah, yeah.
And we meet Leon. And, like, just the wordplay on that the entire season was genius.
Yeah.
He is so good at, like, I think it was not this past season, but the most recent one before that, I was like, oh my God, Larry David is doing Me Too.
Yeah.
He's going to make Me Too funny.
Yeah.
And he did.
Yeah. He did the Me Too thing. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, like, and it was so funny. One of the funniest lines from Curb, like, this is like, because Curb, every season there'll be like a couple lines like that it'll just stick to you, repeat like that. That nobody likes a wobbly table, like that's like a big Curb thing. Yeah. Like, yeah. The wobbly table.
My favorite is, and right now I have my drink on one because I respect the wood.
Yeah,
coasters always. I respect the wood. You know.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and another one from the I think this was last season or maybe the one before. Were they doing the dinner party and the way it's sat? He's like, you can't
the middle.
Can you middle? You got to middle the party. Yeah.
You can't middle at a dinner party.
And I never thought of that before. That's the thing. It's the shit that we all encounter, but never think about, you know?
It's 100% a thing. I was like, I remember speaking to my friends about it. And I remember speaking to like people about it. And I'm like, yeah, you can't middle. Like, are you kidding me? You can't.
Well, it made me realize, I was like, oh my God, I'm a middle.
Yeah.
You are middle.
Like, I'm always like,
I'm a middle too. I'm a middle.
Brandy, you're an incredible middle for sure. Absolutely.
It's so funny. And like, and she invites him. She's like, I'm having a dinner. Could you middle? Like, she invites him like to come middle at another dinner party. And he's like, all right, I'll try. Like, it's a job. But one of the funniest lines is another line that made me laugh out loud. In one episode, they're at a party or whatever. And Ted Danson is going, he's flying somewhere or whatever. So he's saying goodbye to his ex-wife. And he's like, I'll call you when I land. And Larry's like, why? If the plane crashes, we'll hear about it. And it's such a funny, because it's so true.
Oh my God, you're right.
It's so true. What do you think, a plane's going to crash? I'm never going to hear about it?
Oh shit. Yeah, that's excellent.
Such a funny line.
That's incredible. So we've reached the last slot here. What are you pairing with Curb Your Enthusiasm as your second forever show?
So I can go comedy.
Yeah, no, you can go comedy. Yeah. I think
I beat the system.
You did.
I beat the system.
Somehow there's going to be what some people might say six comedies on your criteria, but somehow you haven't broken the rules.
I know. I worked hard on this. How could I do six comedies? And for me, number one, and this is controversial as a comedian, because like I'm a stand-up comedian, and like comedians could be such comedy snobs, but I still think to this day, Friends is the funniest sitcom.
Wow.
Watch. And I love Seinfeld. And I think Seinfeld is equally, I don't think it's the funniest. There's equally funny. Mm-hmm. I think there's other things who are equally funny, but Friends makes me laugh a lot. I could watch it season 1 to 10.
I think that's a great forever pick because it's such an easy show to watch. Like you were saying, like you put it on, it's there, you turn around,
yeah. You're
laughing. Phoebe said something ridiculous. Great. Going back to what you're doing. Ross said something crazy. Yeah.
You could start Friends at season 5.
Mm-hmm.
And just watch the rest of the seasons and not be lost, really.
Yeah.
Well, I would say you should probably start in season 4 because I think season 4 has one of my favorite episodes of all time.
What's the episode?
It's called The One with All the Embryos, and it's the one where they play the game show.
Oh, for the apartments?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
It's the 4th season, 12th episode. Phoebe's trying to get pregnant to be a surrogate for her brother and her brother's wife, right? And meanwhile, the other friends, they create a game show to decide who's going to get the big apartment. Or it's either if the guys win, they get the apartment. If the girls win, the guys get rid of the chicken, the duck, which is how it started. They were sick of the chicken, the duck.
Right.
And for me, like, that was no joke. Like, I watched that and I'm like, yo, it looks so fun to create game shows. And I held that with me until it became my literal job to create game shows. Right. Like,
Part
of the reason I do what I do now is because of that episode of Friends. I loved it so much. Like,
right. And the question where they lost the apartment was, what does Chandler do for a living? Right.
Right.
Yeah.
The lightning round begins now. What is Joey's favorite food?
Sandwiches.
Correct. Chandler was how old when he first touched a girl's breast?
14?
No, 19.
Thanks, man.
Joey had an imaginary childhood friend. His name was...
Maurice.
Correct. His profession was...
Oh, space cowboy.
Correct. What is Chandler Bing's job?
Numbers.
10 seconds. You need this or you lose the game.
It's it has something to do with transponding. Oh, he's a transponster. That's not even a word.
What's great about that, and I think why it's a great show, is like, even with these setups, like, you're still learning about these characters and their dynamic, and the fact that no one cares about Chandler's job and he has a boring job, and you know what I mean, like.
Yeah.
There's still those layers to it. Do you have a favorite episode or stretch or season or anything like that?
I like London. I like when they go to London.
Yeah, good stretch.
And I like when they go to Vegas. I like when they go to London, Vegas, and when they go to the Bahamas. I like every time they went to, like, every stretch where they went somewhere. Yeah.
You like the trips?
All the trips. Those are the only 3 trips, right?
Probably all sweeps stretches, I would imagine, right? Like back in, like, you know, network
sweeps,
you know,
days.
Terminology, you know, like sweeps weeks in May and November, like the biggest ratings, like, they would always go on trips and shit like that, you know?
Yeah. So I like all the trips. My favorite, that's the thing about Friends, why it's so thing, because you like to be like, oh, I like this character. Cause like, I think Joey was always the comedic relief for, I mean, but then all the characters, when you think about it, you're like, but damn, but like Phoebe is cool too. And like Chandler is good. And Ross, like, it's hard to just pick one. Like it's honestly like a perfect ensemble cast.
How about this? I know my answer. Maybe not who is your favorite, but who do you identify most with? Because I feel like I'm one part Ross, one part Chandler, 0 parts Joey. And a little bit of Monica in there as well, is what I would say.
Right. I guess if you had to pick 3, I mean, I'm one part Joey, like I'm an artist. And like so I relate to that stuff. But I would say one part Joey, one part Chandler, one part Monica.
I'm mostly Monica. I'm a with a teeny bit of Phoebe.
Yeah. Oh, if you had to pick a guy.
If I had to pick, and then I would say with the guys, like, I'm probably I'm between Ross and Chandler.
Yeah, that's it's just a perfect cast. Like the way they were able to get that together, and then at the time when it came out too, like, they weren't really stars. Like Monica had done something, like Courtney had done a couple things, but that show like made, and then Rachel became the biggest superstar, and then Joey became a TV legend. I mean, he's had how many successful things? Not Joey the show, but everything else has been.
Did you watch episodes?
No, but I should.
You would really like episodes.
It's really good.
So episodes it's like Matt LeBlanc playing Matt LeBlanc post Friends, but like a fictionalized, inflated version of himself.
So it's very Curbish.
It's a little Curbish. It's very like Inside Hollywood. It's like these two British showrunners have like a critically acclaimed, you know, British comedy, and they do a deal to remake it in America, and it all goes wrong. But
like The Office,
kind of, yeah. They like reboot it for the States, and Matt LeBlanc is cast as the lead role, and it's the relationship between the three of them.
Episodes is HBO?
Showtime.
It was Showtime.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm going to watch it. Yeah, thanks for that recommendation.
Really good. I think you're going to like it a lot.
Once I get two more people to recommend it, I swear I'll watch it.
Well, you got two here.
I'm recommending it too.
This is two.
All right, two. I need one more. Yeah. And then I'll watch. DM me if you're listening. Call in and tell me if I should watch episodes.
Exactly.
I need three. I'm sorry.
Tweet at Ian right now if you're listening. Tell him to watch episodes. All right. So to recap, Ian, we've got your criteria. You've cheated the system, but in a way that we can only respect. And quite honestly, I'm in awe of.
You've met your match, BFFs.
That's right. All right. To recap, Atlanta, noted drama, and Louie are the best shows that Ian Lara has ever seen. Entourage and Martin are his favorite shows of all time. And he would watch the unscripted Curb Your Enthusiasm and Friends forever. Incredible list. I love
it. Six comedies.
Yeah. But you made a good case, though. You made a good case for it. And that's what we always say. Like, it's in the eye of the criteria maker. And if you're like, yeah,
right,
and Atlanta's dramatic.
Yeah.
And you made a good case for it. You know, you made a great case for her being unscripted as well. So hats off to you, man. Well done.
I know we only have like a few more minutes left, but we like to do like a super quick lightning round. So before we sign off, we have a quick lightning round that we didn't tell you about, which is what makes it fun. We have a mini BFF where we ask you to choose a best, favorite, and forever in a surprise category. And because it's a lightning round, you only need to pick one thing for each category. And so for you, Ian, we would like to know who is your best, favorite, and forever with stand-up comedians.
Okay. Best. I would say Chris Rock.
Okay.
Nice.
Favorite, I would say, what's the other one?
Best, favorite, and then forever. So think of it like, whose specials would you watch on a loop forever? Kind of for the forever.
All right, got it. Chris Rock is best. Favorite, I would say Kevin Hart. Especially like the old Kevin Hart. Like the before he was a huge superstar. And Dave is the I could watch the stand-up forever.
Chappelle?
Yeah. That
Chappelle forever?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because his stuff is like...
Special are so good.
Yeah, it's like not just comedy. So you could, once you get sick of the joking, you're like, oh, there's a point to this. And you can just continue watching, finding all the nuances in it. So those are my three.
Love that list of comedians. Chris Rock is your best. Kevin Hart is your favorite. Chappelle is forever. You really can't argue with that. I mean, three of the all-time greats, right?
Of course. Of course, yeah.
And with that, that's a wrap on this episode of TV BFFs. Thank you so much to our guest, Ian Lara. Ian, where can we find you and what are you up to?
You can find me at Ian Lara Live. That's my Instagram. It's my name, Ian, I-A-N-L-A-R-A, Live, L-I-V-E. That's my Instagram. IanLaraLive.com. That's my website. It's for dates. But most importantly, my Comedy Central Half Hour is streaming on YouTube. Comedy Central is streaming it on their channel for free. So you can just search my name on YouTube, Ian Lara, or search the name of the special, which is called Growing Shame, which is a play on growing pain. It's Growing Shame, and it's up there on YouTube. So please go out, watch it, and leave a positive comment and share it. I want people to see it.
Yes, yes. Watch the special, share it, tell all your friends. And while you're doing that, you can rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast. You can check us out on Instagram at TVBFFpodcast or email us at TVBFFpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, we want to hear from you. So reach out and send us your six. We want to know your top six shows of all time and where they fall on your own personal BFF criteria. So send us your picks and we'll share our favorites on the podcast. So until next time, goodbye, friends.
Bye.
Bye, guys. You've arrived here with a